Bless the Lord. Well, this morning we're going to continue on the ABCs, the teachings of Jesus. We've been going alphabetically from A all the way down, and we've come to the letter X. And as I said last week, we're going to use the word accept. Now, we know it begins E, but it sounds like X. Accept, right? So we're going through the accepts of the teachings of Jesus. And last week, we talked about three of them. And we talked about that no man can come to me, Jesus said, except the Father draw him. And we made clear last week that it is Father's heart, Father God's heart and desire and will, that all of us be drawn to his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we know that it is God's heart and desire that we become to Jesus. Last week we also looked at except ye repent. And so we understood what it meant to be repent, to repent, to have a willingness to come to Jesus, that our sins would be forgiven, and that we can have a new direction in our lives. And also, we also seen last week, we went over the except ye be born again. Amen. So God desires that we come to him, repent, and become new creations in him. Amen. That's his heart and his desire. And that's a good thing. Thank God that he loves us to call us, to draw us to himself, because we were the one, mankind was the one that went away from the Lord. But the Lord, in his love and mercy, continues to draw us back to his love and compassions and mercy. And now this morning we're going to continue to look at Matthew chapter 18, verses number 1 to 6. There is so much that Jesus says about except ye be converted. Now, except ye repent is the same thought, the same thing as except ye be converted. But there's the word converted is here that we want to look at. And except ye be converted. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 1, it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Here's his disciples walking with him, being taught of him, and they get the opportunity to go to Jesus and say, Lord, you know, and they're asking him this with the expectation that he's going to say, hey, you guys are. Lord, who's the greatest in your kingdom? You know? And they're hoping that the Lord will say, you know what, guys, I think I'll set you at, I'll elevate you guys. And so they go to him and say, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That was their question to the Lord. And they didn't expect the response that they were going to get. You know? You ever ask somebody a question and they respond with like, huh? Where did that come from? So here's Jesus, and he says, and he called a child to himself and set him before him. And then he said to his disciples, who wanted to know how great they were going to be in the kingdom of God, he said, truly I say to you, unless or except you are converted and become like little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. So how did Jesus respond to their question, who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom, Lord? How great am I going to be in your kingdom, Lord? You know, now don't look at me or look at them and say, oh, what kind of question was that they asked? Because all of us would kind of have that same question, Lord. Where am I standing, Lord, in your ranking here, you know? And so Jesus brings a little child to them, and he says, truly, verily, pay attention, listen up, get this. Because Jesus is a teacher. He's a master teacher. He's of God. And as we have seen before, Nicodemus acknowledged him. Lord, we believe that you are a teacher sent from God to teach us. And so he's teaching them. He's giving them spiritual truths that will change and transform their lives. And if we accept and hear the Word of God today, even this morning, it will change and transform our lives. That's what the Word of God is meant and designed to do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God, the Bible also says the Word of God will not return void. You see, whenever you hear the Word of God, you're out of excuses. There's no more alibis. There's no more excuses. Once you've heard the Word of God, there's accountability. You've heard. Now we either choose to accept it and receive it and walk in it and let it change us and transform us, or we can put it on the side and say, I got to think about this a little bit, or no, this ain't for me. It's for the guy next to me or the lady next to me over here. She really needs to hear that. But the Word of God is for all of us to hear. And once we hear it, then we have a choice. Choices. Decisions. What do I do with what I just heard? And so he's telling his disciples. It goes into their ears, and now they've heard it. And so the word accept, he says, truly I say to you, unless, or the word there is accept, you are converted. So again, Jesus is saying, listen, guys, there's no other options on the table. There's no other alternatives. You don't have a multiple choice question, a thing here. This is it. Except you be converted. Now he's talking to his disciples. The word converted in the Greek, what it means is to turn, to change, a complete turning. In the military, we called it an about face, where you're like this, and then you turn this way. I'm opposite of where I was before. And so the Lord is calling us to completely turn and change our direction of life. That the way we were walking, now we turn to the Lord and walk in His way. And He leads us. But it's not just our feet that need a change of direction. It's just not our heart that needs a change of direction. It's our mind that needs a change of direction. We need to change our thinking. You see, because when our natural mind was corrupted and polluted by the things of the world, as we grow up in life, we're bombarded with all kinds of ideas and thoughts of how we are to live and how we are to be, how we are to succeed and how we are to do things. And so when the Lord saves us and redeems us, we change our pathway and say, yeah, Lord, now you are my shepherd. Lead me and guide me. The way I was walking, I don't want to walk that way anymore. I choose to follow you. That's repentance. And conversion is the same thing, the same thought. But he's telling his disciples now, they are his disciples. They are walking with him. They are following him. They do believe in him. It's not like they're unbelievers. They are believers. They've come alongside Jesus and they want to learn. How many of you want to learn from the Word of God? I do. I never stop learning. As you read the Word of God and set yourself before the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to help you illuminate that Word and continue to grow you, grow me, we are continually learning from Jesus. And so his disciples, his believers who loved him, who wanted to know, and how many of you know you don't know it all? Starting here. I don't know it all. All the years I've been studying, I don't know it all. I'll be the first to confess it. I'm still learning. Lord, I want to know you more today than I did yesterday. And so it's an ongoing process. And so he's teaching his disciples for their good. The Lord teaches us for our own good. And so he says, unless ye be converted, you've got to change, or we have to change our way of thinking. Jesus is saying to them, you must change your way of thinking. Because they're thinking greatness. Who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom, Lord? And the Lord is saying, well, look, guys, I know you mean well. I know your heart is right. But the thinking aspect has got to come around and be changed, converted, go in a new direction. Instead of thinking, am I going to be greater than my brother? Am I going to be greater than my sister? You know, That's the mindset in life. Who's going to succeed? Who's going to get the promotion? Now, are those things bad? No, they're not bad. We should work with excellence and believe God for promotions and believe God for prosperity in business and in school and in all that we put our hands to that is good and righteous. We should believe and expect God for good things, advancement, promotion. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, our thinking has to go in a different direction. Then I'm not greater than my brother or my sister. And so he takes a child and he brings them and he says, unless you be converted and become, all right, change. How do I change, Lord? And become like little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. He's talking to his believers now. Now, what does that mean? You know? All right, he's saying, look, here's a little child. He pulls him out. And he says, here's how you have to change your thinking. You have to start thinking like a little child. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, be ye renewed and transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Because our when we're born again, our hearts are we're given a new heart and a new spirit. We're born again. We're believers. But our mind is continually being renewed by the Word of God. That's why when we're born again, we have to continue to study the Word of God, be diligent in reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, looking at how the Lord wants to lead us and guide us. So we go from stinking thinking to clear thinking, you know, in that regards. And so our mind has to be changed. We have to desire to see spiritually in order to get a good perception of the truth. Our desire has to be to see spiritually. We want to say, Lord, open my eyes that I can see spiritual truths that will change and transform me. So he takes the little child and he says that if you don't become like a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Woo! Wow, that hurt. Here's believers, disciples, saying, Lord, who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom? And Jesus said, warning. Remember we were talking about warning signs, danger signs, do not enter one way, you know, go this way. And if we had danger signs in our lives and in the Word of God, and I said somebody should make a Bible with danger signs, with little arrows, caution, do not enter one way, go back. I think that would be a great, for some of you who might want to do that, do it. It would be a great thing. But here Jesus sets up, he gives them a warning. Unless you be converted as this little child, forget about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. You might not even make it into the kingdom. So what is Jesus saying? Wow, this is heavy duty stuff. So Jesus is saying, if your mind doesn't change in its thinking, and if you're thinking along the lines of greatness, that's going to get you, that could get you into a lot of trouble. Because when you start seeking power and position in life, there's the temptation of corruption and everything else to attain something that the Lord is saying, you know, we shouldn't go there. So if we start to focus on, I'm going to be the boss. I'm going to be the great leader. What did Satan do? Why did Satan fall? Satan says, I will sit on God's throne. I will exalt myself. I will be the most powerful. And so Jesus has said there's danger in thinking who's going to be the greatest. Thinking you're better than somebody else. Thinking you're better than others is dangerous thinking. And so he says if you pursue that, if you don't change that way of thinking, it could lead you in a pathway that will take you away from me, from my love and my word, and you can go off. You could start to backslide. You will start to backslide. And the chances are that you could possibly turn your back on Jesus and leave. Why would he warn his disciples that unless you are converted and be like a little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God? He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to his disciples, warning them, change your thinking. because there's a danger if you don't change your thinking. He's not saying you're on the road to hell. He said, I don't want you to go there. I want you to stay in that position where you're going to enter the kingdom of God. I want you to walk with me. I want you to be taught. I want to keep you safe. I want to keep you on a healthy course. But he's saying if you don't get rid of that type of thinking, there's danger there. Enough danger where it could lead you to separation, to turn yourself from me and not enter the kingdom of God at all. So when you think of that, what he said to his disciples, it's like, whoa, this is heavy duty stuff here. But the Lord always teaches us for our good. He doesn't want us to get breathing heavy, oh Lord, how am I ever going to do this? How's this going to be possible? Whatever the Lord asks us to do, we're able to do it by his love, his grace, his mercy, and the power of his spirit in us. We're able to do that. We're able to change. We're able to stay on that road with the Lord. He's our shepherd. He leads us and guides us. So don't get depressed. Don't say, oh God, how am I ever going to do this? You know, I keep thinking of these things. Well, that's okay. The Lord will see you through. But the Lord said there's a danger if we start thinking ourselves better than our brothers and sisters. And he says to them, whoever receives one such child, whoever humbles himself as this child, this little child, is the greatest in the kingdom of God. So what is the Lord saying? That humility, being humble. How many of you know that little children, most little children, now there's always, you know, there is always an exception to the rule, an exception to anything, right? But most little children aren't arrogant or really like bold, and most little children are not fighting over position or greatness. Most of them are not. There might be one or two that want to be the king and the boss and whatever, but most little children don't care about position or greatness and things like that. And so God wants us that when it comes to the kingdom of God, don't fight over who's going to have the best ministry, who's going to have that, oh, he's got that ministry, I got this, Don't, in the kingdom of God, don't fight and don't compete for positions in ministry. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about fighting for a position. It's not about getting yourself a name or a title. It's about saying, Lord, here am I. What do you have for me? It's accepting God's truth. For the Gospel of Luke tells us, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So the Lord is telling them, guys, the new thinking has to be humility, humbling yourself, being a servant, humbling yourself, not looking to lord it over, but to serve. And so there has to be a reverse thinking here. And so he wants to tell us, and the greatest example of humility is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Jesus, being the Lord of all, humbled himself and took on flesh. He humbled himself to become born in the flesh, born of a man. Humbled himself. And so the Lord is saying that take example from me. Get your thinking renewed in humility. That I came, Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve. And so that's the mindset that the Lord wants us to do. Because when you take on the mindset in the kingdom of God to serve one another, to be a servant, serving one another in love and compassion and truth, that is what it's all about. And when you have that heart, when you have that mindset, God elevates you. God raises you up. God opens doors of ministry for you. Not because of who you are, but because of your humbleness, of your heart. God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at your diplomas on the wall. He doesn't see how many schools you graduated from. He doesn't, you know, I was with someone one time when we were away. A man came up to me and he was, we were talking and I was telling him about a little bit of how my experience in my life in ministry. And he says, I know a guy who didn't even go to school, and he's a pastor. He didn't even go to college. And he was talking down on that individual. And I said, well, that's all right. I said, if God has called him, God equips him. And he was like, well, if he didn't get a degree, he can't be qualified to be. And that's not true. What about Peter John, what school did they graduate from? Did they have the doctorates and degrees? I'm not making light of education. I am not. I encourage education. I encourage you to get the best education you possibly can. Learn all you can. It's a good thing. But what I'm saying is that is not what's going to make you a great leader. It's your heart of servanthood that will make you a great leader. All the degrees in the world will not, in God's sight, and again, I encourage you to study hard and to do well. Get the greatest education you can. If it's there, take it. But it is not degrees and diplomas that make you a minister or make you anyone of importance in the kingdom. It's your heart, attitude, and the way you think in the kingdom. And so to be great, as Jesus said, if you humble yourself as a servant of God, loving one another, I'll exalt you. If God exalts you, guess what? No man is going to take you down. Look at Daniel. Look at Joseph. These were men who humbled themselves. Joseph in prison, a prisoner in chains. Second in command in Egypt. Incredible. Incredible. Was there a Bible college in the prison that he went to that Pharaoh said, oh man, you graduated with honors, come up here. It was God touching Pharaoh's heart that brought Joseph up and exalted him. Because Joseph, although things didn't look good for Joseph, did they, in prison, yet he was humble before his God and God exalted him. And he loved his brothers. He humbled himself to receive them back. Right? He could have took his brothers and fried them one by one. You know? He had the power to do that. But that wasn't his heart. He wasn't out to be greater than his brothers. He loved them. And he used his power and his authority to bless his brothers in every way that he could. Humbleness. Also with little children. Little children, I'm talking about little ones, they can get in arguments. They can come back crying, you know, whatever, took the ball or whatever. And they cry and they'll never play with them again. 5 minutes later, they're out there playing with whoever it again. They forgot all about what it was that they were complaining about before. They're quick to forgive. Kids don't want to remember stuff. They're quick to forgive. Let's go play again. You remember those days? As long as you wish sometimes it could just be like that. Okay, let's go play again. Don't worry about a thing, you know? And so we as adults got to learn, take on that mindset that we got to be like little children, even in forgiveness, being quick to forgive. So what? Somebody took your ball. That's okay. You get the ball back and you play with it again. All right. Here we are. We're playing again. You know? So what? You know, so like little children, we got to be forgiving. Because if we don't... That's why the Lord talks so much about forgiveness. Like little children, quick to forgive. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because if we allow unforgiveness and hurt to settle in us, it develops into something called malice, which is a bitterness and a hatred where you pray, Lord, let lightning come and fry them. That's malice. It's when you wish lightning bolts on your neighbors or co-workers or co-students or somebody. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. He doesn't want us to think that way. And so the Lord wants us to be quick to forgive, like little children have a mindset of quick forgiveness. You know? And so those are things. And also little children, when Jesus draws little children to himself, they trusted him. They went right to him. Little children are quick to trust. How many of you know that? And sometimes it's a good thing, but I tell my wife, you can't just trust everybody quickly. But trust is something that takes time to build up and to prove. But little children, in a sense, but little children are quick to trust. They are. They're quick to trust. But we, and they're quick to be led, you know, to lead them. But we have to know who is leading us and where are they leading us. We don't, you know, Jesus said, if you let blind guides lead you, the blind leading the blind, you'll both fall into a pit. Who wants to fall into a pit? Did any of you ever fall into a pit? Number one, it's not a good experience. Number one, you don't know what's down there. Number two, you come up out of there, you're going to probably be a little messed up. Nobody wants to fall in a pit, and nobody wants to lead us. Say, come on, let me lead you to a pit today. I mean, are you going to get in line or what? No. Nobody's going to get in line if somebody's leading you to fall in a pit, are they? And so, but the Lord says, follow me. The Lord says, if we come like little children to follow the Lord, meaning we trust him to lead us to a good place, to a good pathway, as the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. We know. Do you know who's leading you? Is Jesus leading you? He's a good shepherd. The Bible says he is the good shepherd. And so, and we're the sheep. Yeah. We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. I met one man who said, I take offense that you refer to me as a sheep. Well, I'm not referring to you as a sheep. The Lord's word calls us as sheep, following the shepherd. Well, I'm offended that you make reference to me to be a sheep. Well, I'm sorry. What can I do? You know, what do you want to be referred to? As a goat, a wolf, a dog, what? You know, but the Bible says that we are as sheep. As sheep, they're trusting to follow the shepherd wherever he leads them. And so that's why Jesus says, be as sheep, be as little children. Trust the Lord to lead you through the journey of this life, that he's got a safe pathway set for you. And that when you come to dangers, when you come to rough terrain and rough going, he's going to be there. He's not going to leave you. Hey, where'd the shepherd go? You know, he booked that we're in a hurricane and the shepherd went to Chicago and we're over here. No. The shepherd stays with you in the hurricane. He stays with you in troubled waters. He stays with you when the ship is rocking, you know, and the waves are crashing. The shepherd is there with you to see you through. And so, you know, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Follow me. And so we know in whom we have believed. So the Lord says, be like little children when you come to me. Trust me. Let me lead you and guide me. Think humbly. Think forgiving. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to humble. And the willingness to follow the Lord. You know, in following the Lord, in Ephesians, it tells us to be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. Become Christ-like as little children. And also Paul says, be imitators just as I imitate Christ. So God wants us to follow the example of Christ, of how he shows himself in the Word. And he also wants us to be followers of godly men and women that he brings in our pathway as we journey through life. Why does God have the body of Christ? Why has God set the church to be his body? Because within the church, God sets godly men and women and teachers to lead and guide the flock, getting direction from his Spirit, being vessels through whom his Word and his Spirit flow. So God wants us to take example from Christ, from him, and from godly men and women. As Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And as we don't just follow blindly whoever it is. We have to measure as the Bereans did. They heard what was said and they measured it in the Word of God to see if it was so. And so we always look to the Word of God as the standard to what we're hearing and how we're being led. Is it in line with the Word of God? Well, then good. We're in a good place. And so we want to follow that. And obedience, children also, God wants us to obey. There is nothing like a disobedient child, right? You ever see some child walking through a supermarket and they're screaming and hollering and kicking? They want this and they want that. And that's not good, is it? And so the Lord wants us to be obedient as a child. Most times, children... but children need to be taught obedience. They need to be taught how to obey. They need to be taught what is right and what is wrong. And what happens is the Word of God teaches us that if we do this, this will be a blessing. But if we touch that, there will be consequences. And there will be, that's why the Lord tells us to avoid certain things. Walk not in this way, but walk this way. So as little children need to be taught obedience. If a child is left alone in a supermarket or in a candy store, good Lord, what's going to happen, right? They're going to go wild in the place. What do they know what's right and what's wrong? All they see is candy. All they see is good stuff, and they're going to go grab everything they can, bite some of this, bite some of that, put a lollipop in, I don't like that one, and grab another one. So children need to be taught obedience. You can't do that. You have to learn what you can do and can't do, what's acceptable and what is not acceptable. And so when a child is not taught obedience, their own life is out of order because they don't know obedience. I'm not talking about being a slave, whipping people into submission. I'm talking about obedience, teaching a child, train up a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we need to learn that every action brings consequences, whether they be bad or good. That is why we look to the Word of God. Because the Bible says, you know, choose. If you follow the Word of the Lord, if you live according to the Word, blessings will come upon you. If you disobey the Word and walk where the Word tells you not to walk, well, there's going to be bad consequences coming down. So we must learn, even as little children, we must continually be learning obedience to the Word of God. How many of you know we're always learning to obey? Every one of us. Is it easy to obey? It's not easy to obey. It's a process. It takes time. It takes repetition. We got to keep hearing the same thing. We need someone to keep reminding us, you can't do that. You better not, you know, let go of that. So we need people to encourage us to walk in the way of the Lord. We need people to encourage us to let go and not go in certain directions. So obedience is learned. And we're continually, until we get to glory with Jesus, we're continually learning obedience, how to obey to the Lord. We just can't get in a car and just go speeding down the road and not expect to get stopped by a policeman. And because what happens? It not only endangers our lives, it's endangering someone else, right? When you're just flying down the road at 100 miles an hour, hope none of you do that. Pray the Lord nobody does that, right? So you just can't do that, you know, and so because it's endangering. So the Lord's Word wants us to be like little children, to be obedient, and that's something that we learn. We learn obedience. So God, when He's saying, when they came to Him, they got more than they bargained for in that question, didn't they? Lord, who's going to be the greatest in Your kingdom, me or, you know? Boy, they didn't plan on getting the lesson that Jesus was about to give them, that unless you become like these little children and change your whole way of thinking, become humble, forgiving, you know, let me lead you, trust me, and be obedient. Boy, they never imagined they were going to get that kind of a lecture. How many of you, right? And so, but He's telling them this for their own good. He loves them, doesn't He? Jesus loves them, and He's telling them these things that it's going to be a blessing to them, a help to them, because Jesus knows He's not going to be there with them all this time, but He's imparting teaching that will bless them. So He's telling them to be humble, to forgive, to be trusting and follow the Lord, and to obey the ways and the words of the Lord, because this will bring blessing into your life. And when you change your way of thinking and you humble yourself to be a servant, that's how you become great in the kingdom of God.